You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. An afternoon drive home like no other.
Canadian legend Anne Murray.
Got the voice of an angel.
I listen to you guys blab all day.
Yes, that's what good. We do. That's what we do.
Yeah. Does it ever get to a point where you have to turn us off, though, because we're so annoying?
No. You guys you enlighten me every day.
Well, we try.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I'm just looking at Anne Murray's Wikipedia page. This might be the most impressive Wikipedia page online.
Yeah, nobody.
She has sold over 55 million copies worldwide. But I would guess, and I don't know this is a fact, and maybe I guess I could have done some homework on this, but I would assume Anne Murray is the only person on earth that has a Country Music Hall of Fame Walkway of the Stars in Nashville. She has her own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in L.A.
Yeah.
And on Canada's Walk of Fame here in Toronto. Three stars. Toronto, Nashville, and L.A. There's nobody else that would ever come close to that.
So I'm watching this show called Nashville where there's like the bunch of performances at the Grand Ole Opry. Would Anne Murray have performed there?
She's in the... I would assume so. Yeah. I mean, every big country
invited,
star,
for sure.
And we haven't caught up with Anne Murray in over 4 years. It was in October of 2014 when Anne Murray sent out a tweet about the Leafs. She's a longtime Leaf fan. And back in October of 2014, she wrote, "I wish the Leafs were better."
Yeah.
Wasn't happy. Last night, she's watching the Leaf game, and Anne tweets out, "What fun watching these Maple Leafs. It takes me back." And
yep.
We had to call her up. She was nice enough to take some time to join us.
Yes.
The voice of an angel back on Overdrive, Anne Murray. How you doing, Anne?
I'm doing great, thanks.
So how about those Maple Leafs?
Oh, boy. Isn't it something? I had to wait until at least this time of year because I said, is it really going to happen? I mean, is this real? And after last night, it is.
And did you ever get to a point, I know you showed some frustration 4 years ago, where you were like, I'm done with the Maple Leafs, I'm never watching them again?
No, I never got to that point. I still watch them no matter, well, you know what Leafs fans are like. They're rabid.
They're crazy.
Yeah, they're rabid. And I'm one of them. But then I'm, you know, I watch a lot of teams, but of course, Toronto is first in my heart, but...
Well, when you tweet out, you know, it takes you back, what was the golden era for you as a Leaf fan? What are you thinking of when you watch this team and you think that is kind of nostalgic? I remember watching the Leafs play like that back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. What era for you?
The teams that I sort of remember, I mean, I do remember those early teams when in the late 60s, when they the last time they won, but... I was young. I think during the, well, okay, let me think. It was Sittler and McDonald and I think Boreas Salming and that era, you know, late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. in there sometime. And I particularly remember that line with, McDonald. Who's the guy from PEI?
Rick Vive, I don't know.
No, Rick. Well, I remember Rick Vive, too. he didn't last long. He went to Detroit after. I can never think of his name. It's terrible. Errol Thompson.
There you go.
Remember Errol?
I don't personally, but I'm not disputing that fact.
No, well, Errol and Daryl and...
Lanny.
And McDonald played on that line, and I just remember that so well.
Well, I mean, the Leafs, this is a very fun team to watch, as you've been pointing out. And, you know, I was thinking about you over the weekend. Justin Bieber was at the Leaf game. And I remember the last time we spoke with you 4 years ago. I believe you said you used to have tickets to the Gardens, right? You had season tickets?
I had season tickets for years.
What's it like to be a famous person in the seats? Like, could you boo? Could you yell and scream?
Well,
what was that like?
I didn't have time to go to the game.
Oh, really?
Everybody else used the tickets except for me. I prefer to, I always preferred to watch it on TV anyway. But there were too many distractions right in the live games. But one of the questions I was going to ask you is that, can the Leafs afford all these players?
I think it's going to be tough, man.
These guys are amazing, but can Nylander come back?
Well, we're hopeful. I personally think that the cap is going to go up. I think they can be creative, and unfortunately, there may be some. You'll have to move pieces around, but this core is going to be there. Like they're committed to that. They'll find a way to get it done. This is why they have a management group. Like they have guys like Brandon Pridham and who've been with the league. They know they basically implemented the cap and know how to, I'm not going to say circumvent it, but they know how to work and find loopholes. I believe they'll make it work personally.
Well, I sure hope so. It would be exciting to watch this team for the next few years. I mean, last night's game was just amazing. And a lot of times I flip channels, you know, and watch the Penguins or whatever, Buffalo or whatever, but I didn't move last night.
I don't think you're alone. There's a lot of Leaf fans thinking the same thing. We're chatting with Canadian legend Anne Murray.
And so you've got this team in front of you. Who's your favorite right now, or who do you enjoy watching most on this Leaf team?
I mean, Mitch Marner is, I mean, everybody's got a, he's amazing. It's like a magnet. The puck's got a magnet on it for his stick. It's something to watch.
He's an incredible talent. We were wondering, did you ever play at the Grand Ole Opry? I don't know how that came up before came on, but...
Oh, yes, I did.
Really?
Yeah,
because we're all big Nashville fans. What was that like?
Well, it was great. But, you know, in those days, it was the Grand Ole Opry, Grand Ole Opry, and it was total chaos. Somebody just shoved me out on stage. And all of a sudden, there I am looking around like a deer in the headlights and wondering where I'm supposed to go because... The stage was more crowded than the audience.
Really?
There were so many musicians everywhere, but it was quite something.
Well, I would assume it would be. I mean, the reputation speaks for itself.
And... It was. Anyway, I played there many times, doing different things. And the actual Grand Ole Opry building, that's where they used to have the CMA Awards.
Right.
Way back when, in the early days, but I hadn't tweeted for a long, long time, and when I tweeted about the game last night, some guy said, "We thought you were dead." me and my friend thought you were dead.
Wow.
I knew it had to be somebody young. He started a sentence with me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. His grammar is dead. That's what's dead, his grammar.
Grammar is gone.
Right. Yeah, and, that's not fun or appropriate at all.
No, somebody else said, Queen of Festive Sweaters. I don't know what the hell that is.
Wear it with a badge of honor. That's a great reputation to have. Could be a lot worse, Anne, believe me.
Yeah. Yes,
could be a lot worse. Speaking of festivities, we haven't revealed this yet, but we're working on a Christmas album on this show, and I know you had one out, I believe, in 2008.
I've had a few of them.
You've had a few of them. Okay, so any suggestions for us? What do we need to know if we're getting into the Christmas album business?
You're kidding me, right?
No, we're not.
We are. We're kidding.
Well, there's an element of joking around, but we are going to do something.
I can't believe that. Not you guys.
Well, our friend Jerry is actually going to do it. He's got the voice of an angel as well. Some people are saying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of songs to pick from. And I walk around in stores, and some of the songs that I hear, I don't know where they came from, but I'm old-fashioned, I guess, but I like the old traditional stuff.
All right, we'll send that along to Jerry. Make sure that he knows
it.
Well, enjoy the rest of the ride here with the Leafs, and keep tweeting. We always love seeing those tweets, and we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for doing it.
Oh, great. No, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Anne.
The great Anne Murray. Very different tone this time. Last time we had Anne on was October of 2014 when the Leafs were just a dumpster fire.
They weren't very good, and she was frustrated. She's very happy right now.
Sounds like a very excited Leaf fan.
Yes.
Occasionally flipping around like we all do if the Leafs are involved in an ugly game or a bad game. But she said last night she was so captivated she couldn't move. Diehard Leaf fan.
We'll get Jabari Greer in here and ask him what his favorite Ann Murray song is.
He's from Tennessee, though. He's probably familiar with the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, she's played at the Grand Ole Opry, absolutely.
Well, some guy texted in saying the Grand Ole Opry's a radio show, not a facility. That's not true.
No, it's a
it's building. Like, there's a...
That's a 22-year-old.
That's some idiot from, exactly, from Woodbridge who thinks he knows everything. You have no idea what you're talking about. The Grand Ole Opry, it burned down a couple of years ago.
Well, yeah, there was a fire, and believe me, that whole strip, I stay in a hotel right by there, and then I stumble by it after a late night in Nashville. The Grand Ole Opry is...
legendary.
It is legendary.
Our buddy Brent tweeting and pointing out that Shania Twain, I believe she's got... Three stars.
Yes.
One in Toronto, L.A., Nashville. Following in the footsteps of Ann Murray.
Exactly.
Jabari Greer in studio. Do you ever get to party in Nashville, Jabari? Is that your kind of town or what?
Yeah, I was actually just there over the Thanksgiving break.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. I have a family there. I have a place there. Nashville.
You ever go to Tootsie's?
I've never been to Tootsie's.
Really?
What? I have never been to Tootsie's. No, I mean, that's not kind of my vibe, guys. Don't judge me, man. I'm just
I'm just saying, a Tootsie's guy. They've got three different levels there where it plays all different types of music.
Yeah, so it's incredible.
It's all country music, though.
No,
of music.
The back bar in the second level gets down in...
If you really search, if you really like, look closely...
You can dig deep. And there's all sorts of music. And a lot of it, you know, cover music, cover bands and stuff. But they're so talented. It's basically up-and-coming stars working on their craft in front of, 84 people. It's amazing. I love it.
I've been incredibly blessed to be in... First of all, to be raised in Tennessee, where a lot of the... culture is around music, and also being in New Orleans, where it's a large musically influenced culture, man. So music to me is like one of those things that makes me move.
Let me ask you about New Orleans. I've never been there. Have you?
No, I haven't.
I have.
Oh, you got
scared
go.
Myself.
Is it like? Is
go.
It worth a weekend trip?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
So here's what happened with me. It was during one of the All-Star breaks. I went down with a couple players, and we got off the strip, and it. We got a little scared.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was our...
Everybody has a story.
We made a mistake.
What happened to me? So, I mean, do we have time for this?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've got nothing time
for you. Okay, so, had to be my fourth year in the NFL. My wife wakes me up after a long day of playing ball, you know, going to practice, and had to be 3 o'clock in the morning. She wakes me up and says, Jabari, get up. We just got robbed. And I'm like... I think that I'm still wiping the crust out of my eyes. I think that I'm dreaming, so I go back to sleep. 5 minutes later, she wakes me up. Jabari, get up. We just got robbed. I get up, go to the front, open up the door. There's blue and light lights. There's blue and lights. There's cop cars everywhere.
Wow.
Shut the door. Say, get back in the house. I jump back in the house. I'm wondering what's going on. I hear doo, 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 doo. Like, literally on my roof. I think that there's a possum or something up there. I don't know what's going on there. So I'm pacing back and forth.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law's in the front room. My children are asleep. My wife is right there wondering what's going on. So I'm like, it's time for me to take care of my family.
Yeah.
I go outside and I hear the cops say, he's on the roof. So in New Orleans, these houses are like really close together.
Right.
So these guys that had came in, they basically imported crime. They came into our neighborhood and they were going from car door to car door, seeing what they can open.
Yeah.
2 weeks earlier, my iPod was stolen. I didn't know. I thought I lost it.
Yeah.
So these guys had come into our neighborhood. My sister-in-law had seen them, called the cops.
Yeah.
They had come, tell me basically get in the house. I said, you know what? I got to defend my family. I go outside. He said he's on the roof, and I'm seeing these guys going from rooftop to rooftop, running from the cops.
Wow.
And these cops, bless their heart, in New Orleans, they had to be at least 280 pounds. You know what I mean? They said, listen, and they all look like my Uncle Leslie. I'm telling you, they all look like my Uncle Les. All right?
Yeah.
One guy twists his ankle. I kid you not. One guy twists his ankle. Another guy was so out of breath. I'm like, you know what, man? This is ridiculous. I'm a professional football player. I need to show my wife that I'm a man.
Yeah.
So I go inside and I grab a bat. I'm like, I'm going up there and getting these guys. So I'm just waiting. Okay, now understand, I'm going up there. But, you know, I'm waiting for that tap on the shoulder for this highly trained police officer to tell me, you know what, Jabari? Yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
That tap never came. All right?
Oh, wow.
So I'm walking
up there.
I'm walking up to get on my gate so I can get on my roof.
Yeah.
I grab the gate. Cop says, whoa, hold on. Wait a minute, man. He said, here, take my taser.
Yeah.
No way.
He said, take my taser.
So what happened? Did you catch
him? No, I mean, that snapped me out of it. Yeah. No, I'm not taking your taser. No, you do your job. I'm not doing this.
No kidding. Can you imagine the reverse? You're like, I can't play corner today. Yeah. Send a cop out there.
Here's my jersey.
Here's my jersey. Here's my helmet. Go take care of business.
Everybody has a story like that.
So did they catch the guys? Or they did.
Unfortunately, it was just some young brothers, man. 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, they got that on their record. But the thing is that New Orleans, man, it's just the income disparity is so so great that, you know, some people feel like that's their only option.
How they get up on the everywhere, roof, though?
When I first moved to Etobicoke, every night I was like, I'd go in my car, and I used to have change. And
Well, if you don't lock your door, someone's going in there and they're taking it. They're not going to steal your car. They're not doing that.
No, they're just saying, glasses. Who left it open, and I'm going to take everything in it.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, that's pretty funny, man.
Yeah.
So that is funny. Here's my taser.
Right here. Good luck. I'll give you a boost up onto that fence.
make sure you catch these
guys.
That's
amazing.
Jabari Greer in studio. So Saints, Dallas tonight.
Big game.
Big game. And the Saints can clinch. It doesn't really matter. Even if they lose tonight, they're going to clinch. But Drew Brees, we had you in here a few weeks ago, and you were on the Patrick Mahomes for MVP bandwagon. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are on that bandwagon, but I think the majority have swung to Drew Brees. It just kind of feels like it's his moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lifetime achievement award. He's never won the MVP, so we're going to give it to you. I would think in that situation, I don't know if I want to be under the lights. Like, if you've already won the award, just put me at 1 o'clock, let me do my thing if I have a bad game. But I feel like if the Cowboys get after him tonight and somehow Brees struggles, does the door open up again in terms of the MVP discussion?
Of course.
Yeah.
And when I said that I was on the Patrick Mahomes bandwagon, I had a caveat there. Based on what he had done in primetime, the MVP award is given to big players who make big plays in big games. And not only was Patrick Mahomes breaking records, but while he was on prime time, he played like an MVP. And if you remember, over the last couple of weeks, when he's had prime time games, he hasn't nearly performed the way that Drew Brees has performed the last two prime time games. And I think that has been the shift from the Patrick Mahomes train to now Drew Brees.
Right.
And now, so we have another prime time game that Drew Brees has an opportunity to show his greatness. And I think if he does suffer today, especially given the momentum that the New Orleans Saints, I mean, literally they're on fire. Everybody's already bought. I promise you, in New Orleans, they've already bought their ticket to the Super Bowl. People have already bought their tickets to Atlanta. And if he suffers tonight, I think that does open the door for Patrick Mahomes, because you remembered by what you do on primetime football.
Jabari Greer in studio with Saints at Cowboys tonight. You can watch it on TSN. So on the flip side, you got Dallas in a weak division. They're 6-5. They're starting to get hot. They made that Amari Cooper deal a couple of weeks ago. It's starting to pay off a bit. Zeke's getting after it. Their defense has been pretty good. If they find a way to win tonight, and I find it hard to believe that it's going to happen, but if they do, you know, does it close the gap, in your opinion, in terms of the Saints and the Rams are up here? Can the Cowboys get close to that territory or what?
No, I don't think so. I just think they have too many holes to fill. I believe that from day one, it should be Ezekiel Elliott's team. Ezekiel Elliott, once he gets the ball over 20, 25 times, you see time in and time out, game in and game out, he's averaging, 120, 130 yards a game. He's the leading rusher right now. But for some reason, the offensive coordinator wants to consistently put the ball in Dak's hands and have it be Dak's team.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to showcase Amari Cooper. That being said, I think that the Saints have already established in our minds and in everybody's minds how explosive they are on offense. They score 61% of the time that they have the football. And their defense over the last 3 weeks, I've got 9 turnovers. Like, that is amazing. So I think that the Cowboys, psychologically, even on paper, but psychologically, I just think that there's too many holes for them to be filled, for them to be on the same plane or echelon that the New Orleans Saints. You know, obviously, you got questions at quarterback, questions at offensive line, at receiver.
Right.
You know, you have questions at their defensive line as well. I mean, besides DeMarcus Lawrence, all these questions are answered for the Saints, and all these questions are answered for the Rams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Bears, who it sounds like Trubisky's going to take another week off? They won last week in Detroit without him.
Chase Daniels. That's my dude. I love it.
He
showed me how to tie a nice tie, man.
There you go.
That's a good guy.
So he got work done, but I feel like you know, the Bears have to recognize, shouldn't there be some urgency here? Like, I know they, I believe Nagy came out and said if it was a playoff game, he would be playing. But the Bears, it's not like they're 10-1. So like they're fighting for the division.
Yeah, so the thing is that they actually have the luxury of having an adequate and effective second-string quarterback. Chase can play.
Right.
All right, Chase can play. Chase, he learned behind Drew Brees. He stayed behind practice doing the same drills Drew did. This guy can play. He's a little shorter, but he's quick on it. He's quick on the draw. He can throw the ball quick. He can put it in, on the money, and he can run. He's a poor man's Aaron Rodgers, you know. So the luxury that they have in Chase Daniels, not many other teams have. So I wouldn't say that they're not having any urgency. What I'm saying is they're being smart, understanding that there isn't a huge drop-off, as they usually are, as there usually right. is, for another team. So you look at what happened with the San Francisco 49ers, the drop-off between Garoppolo
yeah.
and the second-string Beathard, you know.
See you
so
later.
They don't have that same drop-off. Chase Daniels can he could be a starter for other teams, for a Cleveland Browns or for another team. But that being said, they have an incredible defense that can weather them through the storm.
You mentioned Cleveland. Are you on Team Baker Mayfield? Do you like this guy?
I do like Baker.
You like Baker?
But I love the Browns because they have such incredible young talent. Denzel Ward, Jabril Peppers, Myles Garrett, mm-hmm. Nick Chubb. All these guys are first-year, second-year players that can ball. You know what I mean? Like, these are some dogs out here
yeah.
that can play football. And, Greg, I played with Greg Williams. And Greg Williams, great coach. But when I tell you, man, this dude is a Sigmund Freud of psychological warfare. I mean, this guy can make 50 guys get on the same page by manipulating your thoughts, by getting you to think as one, by doing the exact same thing, the exact same way from the first day of training camp to the last day of the season. That's why I think that it's a brilliant move for him to be in that position, because they're young. He's going to show them how to be professionals, and he is going to psychologically manipulate those guys to the point where they are building culture. He used to tell us his story about how you instill culture in a team, and he told us how he did it. He basically told us what he would do to get us to think alike, and it worked every single time.
Really?
Wow. It did.
So you'd look back on it and you'd be like, yeah, this guy called the shot.
This guy basically called the shot. Yeah, man. He's freaking, he's good.
Saints at Cowboys tonight. You can watch it on TSN. We're looking forward to it. Should be a fun game. We'll catch you on SportsCenter tonight.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us in
Thank
studio.
You.
There's Jabari Greer. No taser, though, in studio.
Bring
no
taser. I like one. I don't mind
a
taser.
You're a proponent of a taser every
I believe
once in a while.
In them.
You believe in a good
bear
taser.
Spray.
Yeah.
Bear spray, all of that stuff.
Jaywalking, you get tased.
No.
In Noodles world, everyone gets a tase. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Wings on December 6th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, call in and name that Leaf, and you're going to see the game. Leafs taking on Detroit December 6th. The clue today, the most goals this Maple Leaf has scored in a single season is 23. The most goals this Maple Leaf has scored in a single season is 23.
Larry Murphy.
I think we probably nailed that earlier in the week, but we'll see. Maybe tomorrow's clue completely throws us off,
you know,
off the rails. Rays coming up, looking back on the Leaf game last night. We'll get back into William Nylander's situation under 48 hours until that deadline comes and goes. And wraps with the biggest game of the year down at Scotiabank tonight. Warriors in town will tee that up as well. Tip off at 8. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. All right, Josh Lewenberg will join us in about a half an hour. Raptors, Warriors tonight. No Steph Curry. No Draymond Green. Everyone trying to downplay this game. You're not going to downplay it for the fans. I mean, Raptors fans are excited for tonight. It doesn't mean anything in terms of what's going to happen come the spring, because no. Steph isn't playing tonight. Draymond Green's not playing tonight. And if you actually get to Golden State, you got to get through three teams before you get there.
Yeah.
You got to win 12 games before you even get to an NBA final. But it's an event. That's what it feels like tonight. It's an event. It's in Toronto. It's in our backyard. It's going to be a fun game.
How about some of them at the Maple Leaf games last night? They were going in for the shoot-around. And who was it? Green was buying...
Draymond Green was buying popcorn.
Because
he's not practicing or anything right now.
I don't think
he was practicing. He's not playing tonight.
Just snooping around the game. Leafs are going out.
Absolutely. Well, Steph was talking about it. Like, Steph Curry, his dad, Dell, played here for a few years. And
he was born here, I think.
No, I don't think he was born in Toronto, but he Like his wife is from Toronto. Aisha is from Toronto. Like, she lived here until she was 13 or 14, and then they moved to Charlotte, I think it was. But she still has all her family, or extended family, still living in Toronto, which means if she's not on the trip, I wonder if he would have to... Would he have to go by the in-laws' house today and make an appearance?
Probably dinner last night at the in-laws, or take them for dinner or something like that.
Yeah, I guess so. You kind of have to.
Unless they just were down visiting. You know what I mean? Like, if they were just down visiting.
Right, but it's not like you can... It's not a sneak attack where you get into town and you don't tell anybody. They all know you're here.
Yeah, exactly. And what he's doing is buying 22 tickets for tonight's game. Friends and family.
I would think that is a minimum.
That's a
must.
If
your wife comes to you and goes, hey, when you're in Toronto, I got my cousins that want to come, what's he going to say?
But it's a drop in the bucket. This guy makes what, $30 million?
$40 million a year.
There you go.
More than that with endorsements. He's making $70 million a year probably.
Doesn't even matter.
What does he care about spending?
He won't even know about it. His handler will have taken care of the tickets.
Right.
That's it.
Here's 10 grand Canadian or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he probably got them a suite.
Puts it on his visa. Yeah, exactly.
You can get suites, right, on the fly?
For sure. I'm sure your team services guy would have to put in for it. Like, he'd have to talk to the Toronto people and say, is there something available? Could we put these people in a suite? And they'll say, great, we'll put them in the Molson suite. They're going to have to share it with some people, but they'll be in there.
Right.
Like, that's
how stars
work.
I'm not too worried about
work.
The Curry family tonight.
Exactly.
I think
they'll be
okay.
Fine.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
What are we going to talk about today, boys?
Today is the
most important day.
It's a big day in the negotiations, Ray.
No, I mean, I got a lot of feedback on yesterday's segment.
Yeah, not about real stuff.
All the, what was it called? Like fakepenis.com or something like that?
Fake pecker.
Yeah, didn't go
well. I got more texts and tweets about yesterday than just about anything else that we do.
Actually, we did. We haven't even brought it up in the first 90 minutes. Hayes, did you have any blowback at all?
I got a couple of texts and calls wondering what was going on. I had a buddy call me today. He was out for dinner with a client. His client was listening.
Oh, my Lord.
And he's like, you got to find out the backstory between, you know, your boy and his wife and the circumcision at 30.
Oh.
And, yeah, there's been a lot of people snooping around looking for details.
Did you hear from him himself?
I have not heard from him personally. We may be on the outs.
Yeah, you're on the outs for sure.
our relationship may have been cut.
Yeah.
But you broke the whole levee open, dude. You were the one telling. You had to go back in and
circle back,
you know?
Yeah. So that's, and it kind of led into this. You're like, I think I can trump this.
Exactly.
I don't know why I felt obligated to do that, but I guess when you start talking about horror stories, everyone's got one.
Yeah.
Ooh, and it's so true,
man. That's a real one.
Like, Ray, you and I, we were texting this morning. We've been doing this show for 7 or 8 years. I have never had anybody stop me and go, your take on Kadri last night? Unreal. Great take. It's always the stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the, you know, my dad's name's Gary. What do you think? I'm like, that's great. His name is Gary. You know, I wear New Balance shoes. I heard about you talking about circumcisions and all that kind of stuff. So that's the reality, man. That's the way it goes.
It's a multi-purpose show.
That's right. Yeah, you can't. Don't pigeonhole this show, man. You never know what you're going to get with us. But I guess everyone thought you were talking about Nylander because we're under 48 hours away from the big deadline.
Please stop the
madness. Well, actually, I'll pose this to Ray. I think Mike Babcock is talking about it a lot. And I know he's getting asked about it, but something doesn't seem right. The fact that he's throwing it out there. I expect him to be there. He should know all this because he's guaranteed he's talking to Kyle every hour. Like, I almost have this take where it's not going well, and Mike's trying to maybe apply some pressure from his area.
Yeah, well, I tweeted out earlier. I guess it was this morning. It seems like Babcock almost feels like the more he talks about it, maybe it will come true.
Yeah,
like he brought it up out of nowhere, you know, and you know we want to play way faster and. Now we can, you know, we're going to get to that, and Willie can fly too. What the hell's that got to do with anything? Because usually, whenever you ask him about something, he says, "Oh, I'm only talking about the players that are here."
Yeah,
he does it all the time. Players, well, I don't know. I don't have to worry about what line I'm going to play Matthews on because he's not ready to play, and we'll worry about that when he's ready. I don't even have a player yet.
What do you think he's trying to do, Willie, though, Ray? Like, is it just him trying to be hopeful, or is it him saying, "Hey, Kyle, like, get this done"? Or I don't know. I don't understand the motivation of what he's. What is he doing?
See, the only thing I can think of is he's trying to, tell Nylander how much they want him, how much they need him, and come on, get this done. Like, to apply pressure to your own general manager or try to do that publicly. Eventually, that game is going to blow up.
Yeah, well, you get fired for that.
Yeah, Mike's too smart for that. Yeah. I guess right now, though, whatever the difference is, my thought, Noodles, yours, I hear your thought, but mine is that there is no negotiation left. I mean, you're niggling over now $150,000 per year or $200,000 per year. What the hell does that matter in the case of the money they're talking about?
Right.
Like they're either in the ballpark or they're not. Mm-hmm. And 48 hours isn't going to matter anyway, or it's going to get done. But, we're going to wake up tomorrow and, so there's few less hours, but it's not like they've got to hammer out any details. It's like, you taking the deal or not? Like,
exactly. I hope they've been doing something the past 5 months. You know, like the idea that they're, okay, maybe you got to cross some T's and dot some I's and work on a couple of minor details. But I would hope that the majority of the game of chicken that they've been playing,
This hasn't snuck up on them.
No, everyone knows. Like, now it's panic time. And if you're thinking that you're going to bridge a gap of $1 million a year, $1.5 million, that doesn't seem likely. I would like to believe they've kind of inched towards each other, and just a matter of who's going to finally blink and say, okay, I'll give you the extra $150 a year, or I'm not going to need the extra $150 a year. Because if it's bigger than that, who knows?
Yeah, Brian, the other thing is that, back a few, before the caps came in, you could negotiate bonuses, and that would always be like a real sticking point towards the end of any contract that I did.
Right.
We'd be trying to get more bonus money at 20 goals, and they'd try to push it off to 30 goals. It was like, it was always, that was the sticking point for the most part. But now you can't do that.
No. And,
I mean, if they're really, really a long way apart on the structure of the contract now, then it's not getting done.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Kyle has to do his due diligence to circle back with teams to see what's on the table in a potential trade scenario. But I agree, right? Like, every contract that I ever was involved in, a lot of times the base was set, but you battled for a little bit extra bonus, because if you're looking at the sum of the contract, well, if you believe there was achievable bonuses, you can't do that with Willie. If he wanted to make $8 million and you say, we only have 6.5, well, guess what? You go and get 80 points, here's another $1.5 million bonus. You can't do that.
Can't do that anymore. And exactly. So what are you really haggling over?
You got to try and be creative.
Yeah, I mean, and the idea that he would ride shotgun with Matthews, watching him return last night. This kid, he's had a knack for the big moment since he got here. And as I'm watching him pot two in the first last night and 3 points, I guess he didn't have two in the first. He had a goal and an assist in the first, and then he tipped in the Johnson shot late. It made me think of the Boston series and how that just makes no sense now when you look back on it, because every big moment, including the first game of his career, this guy has always stepped up when the spotlight's been on him. Just makes no sense what happened in the playoffs last year.
Well, and then after time, don't you think if there's enough of those, that more often than not, you're gonna be pretty happy with what you see? I mean, just watching them on the ice yesterday and how that changes the look and the complexion of their team. What did it take, 62 seconds for the first two power play goals?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. It's like it's a practice when they get set up in the zone. That was... He's an impressive guy, and they're, if they can find the way to get this thing done, man, they're just oozing with offensive talent, with the ability to produce from several different lines. I mean, that Matthews just changes just about everything when he shows up there.
It'd be awfully painful next year if we're doing the same thing. like if we have to do it twice and over again next year?
There's a chance, and let's not look forward to that. Like that's
I'm just saying it's painful.
But it's the it is, but it's the business, and that stinks. But these guys are going to get paid a lot of money, and they're going to have to sort that out. But I want to go back to the power play. Like, you know, I think teams have done a pretty good job. Now, I know there was no real power plays. The Leafs had played a couple no-hitters there where we weren't seeing this power play, and it wasn't like it was on fire, you know, the last five or six games because there just wasn't a lot of opportunities. But if you're trying to shut down that power play, yes, obviously the focus is on Marner and him distributing the puck. But now Matthew's shot just it changes the whole dynamic of it again because even if you work the top of the umbrella, you get it down to Matthews, you have to respect the shot, then he fakes it and slides it to the back door to Tavares. Like, it's just a wealth or embarrassment of riches in that scenario.
Yeah, he can shoot it, though. Like, the goaltender, the reaction of the goaltender is, I have no idea where that is
It was a perfect shot, yeah. Perfectly placed, and he used, I thought it was Vlasic's screen. There was a little bit of a screen that come through a leg.
Braun.
Was it Braun?
Braun.
Yeah, so that's where you almost change the way you play against the Leafs a little bit because you're like, okay, that's a potent power play. We got to be smart. If we're going to take a penalty, it better be a penalty.
San Jose had the best penalty kill in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what should change is the way they kill penalties against them.
Right.
Because to me, San Jose's scheme, best penalty kill in the league, was all wrong yesterday. And I think what's going to end up happening is teams are going to, you know, in the old days, it used to be a box, and now it kind of morphs around a little bit. But I think it's a diamond that you kill against. You have one guy up at the top in kind of in Riley's lane to the net, and he moves back and forth with Riley. You have two guys on at the same depth as Kadri, and then you have the guy in front of the net. Because you've got to take away the high pass, the high tip to Kadri.
Yeah.
You have to, but if you take it away like Braun did on the first goal, then it goes to Matthews, to Tavares, it's in the net. I'm almost thinking teams are going to back off and make Marner beat them with his shot.
Exactly. That's the only, for lack of better words, like Mitch has a good shot, he doesn't have a great shot. And I would take my chances, I'd try and cut the ice in half and take any type of options away and force him to shoot the puck more. Now, he's really good at creating deception. So you have to respect that at the last second he may establish a shot and then
he did it
roll
twice last night. He
right.
did it twice.
But I mean,
last
I'm
night.
Saying like
he does it
I'm
twice
saying,
every game.
Exactly.
I can't believe penalty killers haven't funneled the puck the other way.
But,
and you don't even let him touch it.
But that's we've been saying this about Ovechkin for 13 years. Well, just go put someone over there.
Yeah,
go
it's
ahead.
Not going to happen.
Go ahead.
No. What I'm saying though, Brian, is you picture it as a 1-2-1.
Yeah.
If you bring the two guys on the diamond in tighter around Kadri, that takes away that high pass. He becomes almost useless in there for Marner's perspective. And they're in it. They're in tight enough and in a lane enough that the penalty killer farthest away from Marner, he knows he's got two jobs. Make sure that the puck doesn't get to Kadri on the backside, and also it can't go from Marner to Matthews. Once it goes there, you might as well turn around and go sit down.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's in full scramble mode.
Yeah. If you ever watch a penalty kill, a seam pass causes major problems because everyone starts getting confused.
Right. You got to turn and adjust,
like the,
and the goalie's
trying to look 5-foot pass
out.
On the perimeter, no problem. Goes through the seam. It
big
just
problem.
Goes Bedlam, to hell.
Especially on his stick. You give 34, like 5 feet in the slot.
Yeah,
good luck.
1 foot.
Yeah, good luck.
Hey, do you remember at the start of the year, people were saying, oh, I don't know how this power play is going to work with Matthews over on his strong side. You know, they miss a right-hander there. It depends who the left-hander is.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks just fine when he shoots the puck.
Quite comfortable. Yeah, I don't think he's too worried about it. All right, buddy. Well, we'll see what's in store tomorrow. I'm expecting big things out of you. I need more of your personal life on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, we're rolling into the weekend here. We got to come up big tomorrow.
Yeah. Think of something that's really, really strange.
Get circumcised tomorrow.
Yeah, actually do that and then call in.
See, I think you should get your buddy to call in tomorrow.
Yeah. With Ray.
His former buddy.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
his buddy anymore.
I'm losing buddies here quickly.
I think this would be a ratings bonanza.
Yeah. Just a full-blown interrogation.
That guy's Christmas card is just going to be a picture of his unit. Merry Christmas,
Rudolph.
Yeah, exactly.
He calls it Rudolph. Yeah.
The anteater is dead. We got to fly, Ray.
All right, Razor.
Later on, boys. Have there a good is. Day.
Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota Corolla the safest vehicle on the road? See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0%. The website is mapletoyota.com. Josh Lewenberg, live from Scotiabank in about 20 minutes. Bobby Mack in studio later this afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Raps taking on the Warriors tonight. Josh Lewenberg will join us in about 15 minutes. Bobby Mack in studio as well. McDonald's breakfast is the perfect meal any time of the day. That's why all week on Overdrive we're giving away a $150 McDonald's gift card. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050, caller 3.
We're going to do some McD's training tomorrow, aren't
That's
we?
Right, I
we
believe
are.
We will, yes.
I'm going to stop and bring it in.
Breakfast?
What do you think?
Ooh.
I could do a hash brown in the afternoon.
What about a hash brown and a sausage and egg McMuff?
I'm not feeling McMuffins in the afternoon, personally. Hash browns, I'm all over.
And nugs?
Let's just keep it real. Quarter pounders with cheese and 40 nugs.
40 nugs, like...
That'll work. Dude.
Well, Al
will just... His nose will have 3 of them, his mouth will have 8, and we'll do the rest.
Yes, Al.
Are you suggesting that Al snorts nuggets?
Have you seen the nose on this character?
No.
He could smoke a massive joint in the shower while it's running and not get it wet.
He's got an Asher's nose? I didn't even notice that.
I never picked up on
that.
He
had a zit on it last week that has his own Twitter account. Like it's the zit on his nose I could not stop looking at. Al
like
knows best.
Molly Russell's word. What was from Austin Powers? It was like Molly.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the
Who was he talking about? I can't remember.
I was
Fred
calling
Savage.
Him Steve Martin
That's
from
right.
Roxanne.
You were calling him Steve Roxanne?
Roxanne, you remember that movie, Steve Martin, where he's a fireman and he had this giant nose?
Yes, I remember that. What a great movie. Daryl Hannah.
I never noticed that. I got to look that up. I'm going to go stare it out.
Come in here in the break, Al.
Yeah, come in here, Al. Let me check out your nose. All right, Lewenberg coming up on the Raps game tonight. Bobby Mack on where we stand with Nylander.
Oh, come on.
The Leafs last night. Flyers GM vacancy. How much Ty Ratty hates Ken Hitchcock. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.